Congress didn't repeal Obamacare. Now President Trump wants to change healthcare on his own. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Today, President Trump is expected to sign an executive order that would make it easier for Americans to buy basic insurance plans, but potentially make things harder for those who have existing conditions. For more on this, I'm joined by J.B. Silvers. He's a professor of healthcare finance at Case Western Reserve University. And we haven't seen this executive order yet, but it would contrast to the broad-based so-called risk pools that we have under current law.
The idea under the broader pools is you can buy in an average rate for the whole population, for a larger population. If you let them target the smaller individuals, people in that population that are more healthy will drop out.
This is an executive order we're talking about, meaning that it could be overturned by another administration without Congress. How will the market deal with this kind of uncertainty?
Insurance companies set their rates based on their expected expenditures, and they like stability, because the only way you can do that is to have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen next year in a large population. When you change all the rules and you start messing around with that the pool, the insurance company's uncertainty goes way up, and that's what's happened the last few years with changing rules on the Affordable Care Act. One of the reasons why the rates have gone up so much is that the administration has made threats about withholding certain payments and all that. That's uncertainty. Insurance business hates uncertainty that way, which is ironic since that's their business.
J.B. Silvers is a professor of healthcare finance at Case Western Reserve University. Thanks so much.
Good to talk to you.
Let's do the numbers. Japan's Nikkei is up 73 points, about 0.3%. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%, about 12 points. Germany's DAX is flat this morning, and the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down this morning. The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank are meeting this week here in Washington. The annual get-together opened with a better-than-expected projection that the global economy will grow at a rate of 3.6% this year. But as Marketplace's Jed Kim reports, that growth is expected to be pretty uneven.
The improved forecast sounds good, but the IMF says emerging nations struggle, even in positive growth periods. Gian Maria Milesi Freti is in charge of the World Economic Outlook. He cautions that advanced economies looking to raise interest rates should do so carefully.
That process, if not well communicated, can cause financial market hiccups that could reverberate on vulnerable emerging and developing economies.
But there's also opportunity now, says Kamal Dervish with Brookings. In higher earning periods, there's more flexibility to help build needed infrastructure in some African and Latin American countries.
Public sector can play an insurance role in terms of de-risking investment in the poor countries.
And there's also risk from climate change. Poorer countries tend to be especially vulnerable, despite not being the biggest polluters. Peter Bockfuss is with the International Trade Union Confederation. He says that's another way richer economies can help
to assist those countries to make the necessary conversions to protect the vulnerable populations.
He says it's better to make those investments now before another financial crisis hits. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
As Republicans try to gain traction on tax reform, the tax preparation industry has its pet issues, too. Companies like H&R Block and the makers of software like TurboTax are trying to prevent the government from offering a free tax filing alternative to their paid products. From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
In most other countries, the government helps citizens do their taxes electronically. Here's how. Your salary and your tax data are on file, so the government pre-populates the form on your screen. That could work here, says tax law professor Joseph Bankman at Stanford.
If you had all the numbers you needed to file your tax return, all you'd be doing is adding your charitable contributions and hitting calculate.
2 decades ago, Congress voted to have the IRS do that for Americans with simpler returns. It never happened. The feds asked tax preparation companies to provide free e-filing instead, and the industry seized on this, and it got the feds to sign a document promising not to compete.
The Memorandum of Understanding forbids exactly what that act required the IRS to do.
That's law professor Dennis Ventry at the University of California, Davis. He says the private sector wants to keep this business for itself. That's clear from SEC filings. Intuit, the maker of TurboTax, states that it fears, quote, governmental encroachment.
The industry wants to, you know, keep a stranglehold over that particular service, which the IRS could just as easily provide.
Tax prep companies argue that they have a superior product. And they also have friends in Washington, conservative groups like the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. President David Williams.
The IRS is one of the most feared agencies, and there needs to be a firewall between preparation and filing of taxes.
Thing is, the free program private companies offer has not caught on. Less than 2% of eligible taxpayers use it, says Nina Olson, the national taxpayer advocate in the IRS. She says the software is not user-friendly.
So it becomes very, very confusing for the taxpayer. And they might go through that first step and go, forget it. I'm going to buy the software that I know the name brand of.
Which may be what the powerful tax prep companies want in the first place. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And also in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.